I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Janet Davidson. She is director of the play Kimberly Akimbo, which opens this Thursday, the 12th of February, and runs through the 1st of March. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
And we're joined by actors Anne Roylance and Debriana Mancini. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
So we often have you on the air when you've got a new play, and it seems like a lot of these plays are by David Lindsay Abaire. What's up with that?
Well, I think when I first read Rabbit Hole, and I used Rabbit Hole in a class, actually, I realized that this man really spoke to me. He's so brilliant that, and it's just wonderful. So then we did Good People, both here and in Albuquerque at the Vortex. And the more, I love it when it's a challenge, the more you get into him, the more layers you see, It just keeps going deeper and deeper. And it seems so simple on the surface. And then you realize, whoa, I just dropped down the elevator shaft again. You know?
Very interesting. So this play is about a woman named Kimberly, who's played by you, Anne Roylance.
Yeah.
Who is 16 years old, but she has a disease that is basically a terminal disease, which means that she has aged prematurely, and so she looks like she's in her 60s.
Exactly. But the challenge is that I am the older person, and now I'm playing a 16-year-old girl.
So right.
Janet has to keep reminding me things, like, you know, looking too sophisticated when you cross your legs on stage. But it's so much fun to go back to 16.
Yeah.
You know? And I have a 17-year-old boyfriend in the play, and that's hysterical.
And he's really 17.
He really is 17. Yeah.
And he really is 17. And I was thinking as I was reading this play about Freaky Friday, where the 16-year-old ends up in the body of her mother and vice versa.
Right.
And so you've got a wonderful actress who was Jamie Lee Curtis playing the 16-year-old kid, and you were having to do that.
The same thing, yeah. I watched part of that movie the other night, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I know what you're going through. But it's a challenge, and as Janet said, you know, there's so many layers in this. And it's like every night that we've been rehearsing, we find something else, and something just bubbles up to the surface, you know. It's kind of magical, which is theater.
Like many of these David Lindsay Abaire plays, there is a lot of conflict just inherent in the characters themselves, who are not very nice to each other. Mm-hmm. You, Debriana, play Kimberly's mother, and you are very pregnant with your second child. The first one was 16, now another one is coming along. And you and your husband, to say it nicely, don't get along all that well.
Oh, we love each other.
Well, they do, actually. Yeah. They need each other.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know that they get... I mean, if you look at them from, you know, from the outside, they don't get along with a lot of people. It's just how they are.
Right.
But, you know, they have a hard life. It's hard. It's hard where they live. It's hard how they live. It's hard on their income. All of that stuff, I think, kind of plays into why people behave the way they do. So I try not to judge how they are, because I have to love how they are, because
right.
I'm in it. But you don't want to hate your character. That's just antagonistic and kind of schizophrenic as an actor to do that. But yeah, they have a hard life. It's hard.
And they have a hard life, and they've got this 16-year-old daughter who is probably about to die.
Yeah.
Isn't this a funny comedy?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is a comedy. Yeah.
It is. It's hilarious.
It was called Comedy of the Year by the New York Times.
Yes.
It's called a black comedy, and I had to look up what was actually a black comedy, and it is something written about an issue that people don't generally discuss, and it takes a brilliant person like David Lindsay Abaire to make that funny, and he makes it hysterical.
We couldn't get through probably the first 2 weeks of rehearsal without laughing at each other.
Oh, no, we're hard to bite our cheeks.
It's so funny. So,
yeah. I've always wondered how comedians and people who play, especially live theater comic roles, once you get over, you've rehearsed it so many times, you've gotten over laughing, but then on opening night, the audience breaks out in laughter, and you have to keep a straight face.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a real challenge. I do remember a story. The first movie I did in L.A. was Caddyshack, and Harold Ramis directed that. He was an amazing comedic director. And Chevy Chase was doing this one scene, and we were laughing and laughing and laughing. And then all of a sudden, it was like midnight, and we're still doing it. None of us are laughing. And so Harold turned to all of us on the crew, and he said, if you don't friggin' laugh right now, we're going to be here till tomorrow morning. He needs your laughter to go on. So it's a fine line when you're in rehearsal and you've heard it. I've heard this play over and over. So now I'm at the point where I'm not laughing at it anymore. And I'm looking and going, is it funny? Oh, I just know all the thing. I don't know. It's like really a weird place to be for a director.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So the play has another character, which is you're kind of, Debriana, is it your sister or your husband's sister?
Oh, my sister.
Your sister.
Definitely.
Yeah, she's my sister.
Right. Who's a low-life, homeless, scheming, check-forging nutcase.
Well, yeah. Sociopath.
Yeah.
But she has a good heart.
Oh, she's delightful.
Yeah.
Who draws Kimberly and her boyfriend who works at the burger joint into a scheme, and we won't say anything more about that.
And hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues. So when it's a funny thing, you know, you talk about a play that the more you rehearse it and direct it and live with it, more comes out. We, the audience, see it one night. We don't see it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. We don't read it. So how do you bring that to the audience?
Well, they all are. And I think the more one rehearses, the more one gets down to, and the actors can talk about it almost better than I can, but you get down to that level. Then the trick is to get back to the initial place that you were at with it, where you loved the characters, where you understood the characters on a very snap level. And for the audience and for every actor in it, if the audience doesn't like the character, they won't laugh with the character. So it's my job to make sure that everybody initially, before they get into the nastiness even, has those moments where we can see them and understand them and go, oh, I see why I see why Patty is the way she is and everything. And then they'll take the ride, because it's a ride.
I think when you're building a character, that's what it's called, you're building. So you go into all of the parts that you need to understand about why they say what they do, why they respond to each other and the way they respond. And then given the level of intelligence that each character has, you carve away, you discard, you keep, you decide how much you're going to place emphasis on this or that. And that's where the artistry is. I mean, we all know that, you know, when characters are going through a hard time, sometimes the actor wants to just cry. But if you do that as the actor, then you don't leave the audience any room to have any of the emotions. So it is your job to carve the performance. That's what it is. Because we all know what all those emotions are. We don't need to see them or emote them as an actor. So,
plus, I think some of the magic of theater is that the audience affects the performance. They are, the audience and the actors are partners, because we on stage get their energy. So that changes every night. So every night can be new depending upon the reactions and just the, I don't know what else to call it, but the energy of the audience. And of course, if they laugh, we really love it. You know, and that changes things too. It just gives you a goose. So please laugh.
But it's really hard though to make, when we were doing Good People, there were nights where the air conditioning was on and it wasn't supposed to be on, and it was freezing in the audience. I would see people with coats on and everything.
Yeah.
It was at the Armory, and I'd sit there and go, you can't laugh when you're freezing. When you're physically uncomfortable, you just can't go with it. You can't take the ride. And so then the actors hear no one responding, and they go, what am I doing wrong? And I want to scream out, it's freezing, it's not you.
Well, remember Rapture Blister Burn? One night we had people falling out of their seats because it was an audience of women who were it had gone through the women's rights stuff, and they understood every nuance of the show, and they were falling on the floor laughing. The next night, no one was laughing, and we thought, oh my God, what happened? And basically, they stood up at the end. They were listening really hard. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways that the audience plays. It's the actor's job to maintain their performance no matter what the audience
no
is
matter
giving
what.
Them.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Speaking about women's rights, I am going to stick something in right here that I would like to stick in. We had an amazing, really life-changing event this Saturday night, and it didn't get picked up in our paper. So I just want to say this, is that the Directors Guild of America, of which I am a member, had their awards Saturday night. And of the five top awards, the main award went to a man for Best Picture. But then after that, drama series, comedy series, movies for TV, and documentary all went to women. It is the first time in the history of the 77 years of the Directors Guild that actually they had that many female nominations, and certainly the first time that they've had that many wins. It was extraordinary and history-making, and unfortunately it didn't get picked up in our papers, or maybe it doesn't. It's not as meaningful, but it is so meaningful to the world of Hollywood.
And to us as a theater company, I mean, that is the vision of this company, is to give voice to women and to really focus on women's issues.
And one of them was for Best Documentary, Laura Poitras, who I have been following since she made her first documentary, which was, I think it was her first one, which was Flag Wars, which is fantastic, and a number of others. It's congratulations on behalf of all women directors, and may there be more as the years go by.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think the thing to also realize is the two of Laura and Jill Soloway, they actually made their own path. They chose to put their own lives up there. Laura with her documentary and Jill with her show, Transparent, which is a whole new world because that's an Amazon Prime web series. So it's a new world out there, and I'm just glad to be a bunch of women around me and working on these plays that we just can continue to find and continue to work on.
So the current play is called Kimberly Akimbo, directed by Janet Davidson, starring Anne Roylance and Debriana Mancini, as well as a number of other actors, including a young man from New Mexico School for the Arts.
Yes. He is our third actor that we have used in our company. And last year, Tatiana Stravrovsky, I think I got that right, did Slow Girl with us, and she's just brilliant. And she also did Rapture Blister Burn. Mm-hmm. And then before that, in Love, Loss, and What I Wore, we had Joya Berlin, who came with us to Colorado and everything with that show. So I'm thrilled that they're working as hard as they are over there, and I have a joy working with these kids. I'm going over there today to teach my first class, too. So I'm looking forward to that.
Kimberly Akimbo opens this Thursday, the 12th of February, and runs through the 1st of March. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays in the evening, and then Sunday matinees at the Santa Fe Playhouse. For more information, you can call them at 505-988-4262. You can also go to the website for you guys' company, which is forgivingproductions.com. Thank you so much, ladies, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It's a joy. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte.